third Sunday of Advent, and we are continuing today to explore the beautiful truth of joy. Now, joy is, I think, something that the world often misunderstands. People search for joy, perhaps in the wrong places. People might look for joy in fleeting pleasures, in their possessions, in their accomplishments. We seek joy in things that are temporary. But when we seek Jesus, when we seek Christ, we are seeking an eternal joy, something that will never fail, will never disappoint, and is far better than any possession or thing that we could own. Jesus is the reason for the season, and the promise of joy in the Christmas story is more than just a seasonal sentiment. Joy in the Lord is an eternal reality. It's something that is guaranteed to all who trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And what I want to do this evening is just remind us that joy is not dependent on the ups and downs of life. Joy is not dependent on what we go through. Joy is grounded firmly in the unchanging nature of our Saviour, the unchanging nature of our Lord. We can truly be joyful when we trust in Him. There's 3 points I want to cover this evening: the joy of anticipation, the joy of salvation, and the joy of sharing. And we'll start with the joy of anticipation. When Mary visited Elizabeth, Luke 1, 39 to 45, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth, and at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Here we find Mary. She's recently been visited by the angel Gabriel, and now she's hurrying to see her relative Elizabeth. Both women had miraculous pregnancies. Elizabeth was bearing John the Baptist in her old age, and Mary carried the long-awaited Messiah. The meeting between these two women is marked by overwhelming joy. So much joy that even the baby there in Elizabeth's womb leaped with happiness. The word that's used in the Greek is skatao. It refers to a vigorous movement, a joyful movement. The word is used to describe a dance. John the Baptist, there in Elizabeth's womb, had a little dance that Jesus was coming. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? That even a baby in a womb could rejoice that Messiah was coming. Do we recognize the presence of the Messiah in our own lives with the same amount of joy? Do we respond with joy to the fact that Jesus knows us, loves us, and cares for us? Elizabeth here, she's filled with the Holy Spirit. She affirms Mary's faith, and she proclaims her blessed amongst women. And just like Mary and Elizabeth and many throughout history, we can find joy in the anticipation of God's promises. Do you feel joy knowing that God's plans for your life are being fulfilled? Does it thrill you? Does it excite you to know that God is working in you and through you? Even in uncertain times, even today, we have rejoiced because God is faithful. In so many ways, He's faithful. When I woke up this morning, gravity was still working. When I woke up this morning, the laws of nature that God has established were still working. When I woke up this morning, I had breath in my lungs. I'm assuming all you did as well, because otherwise you wouldn't be here tonight. There's little things that we take for granted that we really need to be thankful for. God has a plan for us. God has a purpose for us as individuals and as His church. He knows exactly what is the right thing that needs to be done. He knows when it needs to be done. He knows how it needs to be done. And we can have joy knowing that He's working out His purposes in us and through us. Elizabeth and Mary, they were part of God's redemptive plan, God's way of salvation, prophesied long, long ago that a virgin would be with child. It's unusual. It's odd, as far as we know, humanly speaking, and yet this is what God did. God is amazing. We cannot begin to fathom or understand everything that he does. Isaiah 35:10 says this, "Those who the Lord has ransomed will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness." God's promises for us, they always lead to joy and gladness, because his promises are certain, his promises are eternal, and his promises are true. John Piper says, "Joy is the echo of God's life within us." We're meant to be filled with joy, not just in the Advent and Christmas season, but all the time. We should be joyful because we are, as believers, filled with his Holy Spirit. Joy should be our natural response to the presence of God in our lives. No, I'm talking about joy and not happiness. Happiness is fleeting, but joy is something that is eternal. Second point, the joy of salvation. Recognizing Jesus as Saviour. Luke 1:46 and 47. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." This song, it's known as the Magnificat. It's where Mary expresses her deep joy in God. Think about it. Here you have this young woman, unmarried, pregnant, and yet still full of joy. In many ways, the community that she'd been part of would have cast her aside. Joseph could have just said, "Well, you know what? I don't want anything to do with her." But God spoke to Joseph and revealed the truth to him that Mary would bear the Messiah. God can speak the entire universe into being. He can create a baby in a mother's womb. In many ways, it's a simpler thing for him to do. And yet there are those in the world that question, could it have happened? Well, God is God, and God is able to do anything and everything that he chooses to do. We can't grasp the fullness of his power. We can't grasp the immensity of what he is able to do. Yet Mary trusts, and Mary rejoices, and Mary has deep joy in God. Despite the circumstance, despite the situation, Mary was joyful. She recognized that she was part of something bigger. She was part of God's plan to bring salvation to this world. And she herself knew that she needed a savior. Joseph knew that he needed a savior. People had waited for years for the Saviour to come. The term Saviour, soter in Greek, it refers to one who rescues and delivers. And Mary acknowledges her need for salvation. She rejoices that God is bringing the Messiah. And her joy is available to all who trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Do we recognise our need for salvation? Do we understand that all of us fall short of God's glory? All of us have sinned. All of us have done something wrong. We might think that we're good people, but compared to God's standard, we're not. The Apostle Paul described our righteousness as filthy rags. We are unclean. That's why we need a Saviour. That's why we need to be forgiven. That's why we need to repent. Because in our natural state, we can't save ourselves. The greatness of Christ's sacrifice, the gift of salvation to all who believe, that should give us great joy, friends. Yet the world dismisses it. The world wants to be in control. There are those who want to be their own God and not acknowledge the creator of this universe, the great I am, the God who is. They don't want to know him. But we who know him know the truth. God has revealed truth to us. He's brought us from darkness into his marvelous light. We've been saved. We've been set free because Messiah has come. Christ died in our place. He died to set us free. He died to pay the penalty, the burden. He carried our burden at the cross. And it's a finished work. It's a complete work. Salvation is available for all who will trust in him. Psalm 51 verse 12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." Salvation brings a joy that nothing else can provide. A joy that's renewed as we walk closely with our God. Maybe there are times when we struggle to obey God. Maybe there are times when we think we know better. None of us know what God knows. He knows everything, and he knows what's right and appropriate for us. When we walk with him, when we seek his will, when we spend time in prayer, when we spend time in his word, we draw closer to him, and we can trust him. Charles Spurgeon said, "There's a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart." When we know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, our hearts go through a transformation. We're changed. Slowly, definitely, we are going through a process in which the theological term is sanctification. We are being purified. We are being made fit for heaven every day of our lives. And the joy of salvation transforms our hearts, transforms our lives, transforms our attitudes, helps us to be the people that God has called us to be. Friends, do you have joy this evening? Are you thankful for what Christ has done for you? Because if you are, the third point is relevant to all of us, the joy of sharing, spreading the good news. Luke 1:56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. In some ways, this verse seems very ordinary, but it highlights Mary's willingness to share life and joy with Elizabeth during a season of expectation. As the mother of the Messiah, Mary would eventually carry the greatest joy of the world. And the joy of the gospel is not meant to be kept to ourselves. We're meant to share it. We're meant to tell others. The angel's proclamation to the shepherds in Luke 2:10, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." That is a verse that reminds us that the message of Christ's birth is for everyone. In this season of Christmas and Advent, who is it that you know that needs to hear the good news of great joy? Who is it that needs to hear the gospel? Because sharing the gospel may not always be easy, but it's the most loving thing that we can do for others. At the moment that we're saved, God could just take us to heaven at that point, but he leaves us here because we're called to be his witnesses. We're called to share the truth. We're called to tell others about the Jesus that we have come to know for ourselves. To share our testimony, to share the truth, the good news that Messiah has come. All of us like to get good news, don't we? I don't know anyone who's ever said to me, "I really enjoy listening to bad news." And I'm sure if we met someone like that, we'd probably think that they were a little bit odd. We want to hear good news. We want to hear things that make us happy. We want to hear things that cause us to rejoice. It could be something simple. It could be someone gets a promotion at work. It could be the birth of a child. It could be, as we've seen today, a miraculous answer to prayer. When you leave this place today, who are you going to tell that God answered prayer? Who are you going to tell that God did a miracle today? All right, maybe not exactly in your sight, but you've observed the result of the prayer that took place. When you're in the office tomorrow morning and people say, "How was your weekend?" Are you going to say, "Oh, I witnessed a miracle"? Or are you going to say, "Oh, well, you know, it was all right. What did you do?" "Nothing." Have you ever noticed how when you ask a teenager what they've done during the day, it's always nothing? We as adults can behave in exactly the same way. Instead of saying, "Well, you know, I went to church." I mean, that makes us weird enough as it is in the eyes of the world. But yeah, I went to church and we sang and we praised God and that we were talking about joy and someone shared that a family member had gone missing and we prayed. And that evening, I heard, we were told, he was found. Isn't that joy to share? In the same way, if we truly grasp the joy that we have because we have been saved, because we have been rescued, because we have been found in Christ, shouldn't we share that joy with others? Romans 10 verse 15 says this, "And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" This is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news." God calls us to be messengers. He calls us to spread the joy of salvation in a world that is in desperate need of hope. There are so many countries right now that are in war. There are so many children that are experiencing famine. There are so many who right now do not have joy of the season. They might be thankful for what they have. They might be thankful that they're still breathing. But without knowing Jesus, they will never experience true joy. And God calls us to share the good news. God calls us to be the ambassadors. God calls us to tell others. J.I. Packer, the author and preacher, wrote this: "Joy is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved and that nothing, sickness, failure, emotional distress, oppression, war, or even death can take that love away." Friends, we're secure in Christ. If we know him as our Lord, if we know him as our Saviour, we are never alone. Our God is with us. Our Messiah is with us. And we can have joy in that, friends. And when we share Christ with others, we share the life-transforming joy that we have already experienced. So how do we apply this to our lives? How do we cultivate joy and share it? Advent, in many ways, is a season of waiting and preparation. But let's take the truth of Advent to heart. Let's cultivate the joy of anticipation. Let's trust in God's promises even more. Even when life feels uncertain, even when we're not certain what may happen tomorrow, let's trust him. Let's keep him as our source of joy. And let's rejoice in the joy of our salvation. Jesus has rescued us from death. The burden of our sin has gone because Jesus has paid the price for us. And friends, if we truly love him, let's spread the joy. Let's spread the joy of Christ by telling those that need to hear the good news, the truth of who Jesus is. Whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, whether it's someone that you know. Maybe it's just someone who you know needs prayer and needs a touch from God on their life. As we go through this Advent season, let the joy of Christ overflow in your life. Spend time in worship, reflect on the gift of salvation, and intentionally share the love of God with those that you meet. Share the joy that you have in Christ with those that need to be joyful. Perhaps today you've realized that you don't have this joy in your life. Maybe you're one of those people who have been searching for happiness in all the wrong places. The joy that we've spoken about this evening is available to you, and it's found in Jesus Christ. He is the Saviour who came to rescue us. He is the one who offers eternal joy to all who will place their trust in him. And if you've never placed your trust in him, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, today is the day to ask him into your life. He invites all of us to turn from our sin. He invites us all to accept his gift of salvation. He invites us all into a relationship with him. He doesn't want to make us religious. He wants us to know him as our friend, our Saviour, our Lord. Today, let's be thankful. Let's be thankful that our Lord has come into this world. Let's be thankful for the joy and salvation that he's already brought into our lives. And let's be thankful that right around the world today, there are those that are turning to Jesus for the first time, experiencing the joy of knowing their sins forgiven and the assurance of a place in heaven because of what Christ has done. The world needs to hear. The world needs to understand. And God calls us to share the truth with the world. So friends, this week, speak truth, speak life. Speak love and help others to know the joy that you know for yourselves. Jesus is the promise, and we need to cultivate joy in our lives, and we need to share that joy. May everyone that we encounter this Christmas time see the real joy that comes from us. Not the joy that's so deep that no one can see it, but let's try and appear happy and thankful. I'm not suggesting that you put a manic grin on your face. And my old Jewish grandmother used to say to me that people who smile all the time really don't understand what's going on. But we should be thankful. We should be joyful. And we should be able to just express through our words and our actions the joy that we have in Christ. Let me pray. Father, I ask that you would help each and every one of us to experience true joy this Christmas time. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for that perfect plan created in eternity to restore us to relationship with you. And I thank you that today, Lord, you have given us a fresh sense of joy. We've seen you move in power. You've worked a miracle, dear Lord, and we praise you for that. But whether you work a miracle or not, there is nothing that can take our joy away, because our joy is grounded in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Help us to share that message of truth. Help us to share the love that you have for the lost. And help us to truly be witnesses, ambassadors, that tell the age-old story of Jesus, the Saviour. But we look beyond the baby in the manger. We look to the Saviour on a cross. We look to the resurrected one who rose from the grave, conquering the power of death and sin. And we're thankful that we know you as Lord and Saviour. Keep us walking with you, Lord, I pray. Help us to fix our eyes upon you and in every circumstance. Fill us with joy. Help us to praise you and worship you as we should. In Jesus' name, amen.